Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The league that never sleeps, man. Just the way the commissioner wants it. Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk joins us this morning. Mike, good morning. How you doing?
Joe, I am doing great, buddy. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Our basketball team lost last night, but we got OTAs and mini camps and everybody down here, we got the great tease with this Dalvin Cook, because we have a lot of people down here that think that Dalvin Cook's going to take less money and somehow end up with the Miami Dolphins. And you said something about it a couple weeks ago. I don't know. We were just talking, do we have enough at running back, or you get a guy to get like Dalvin Cook at the right price, you just have to take him?
If you can get him at the right price, I think here's the thing to keep an eye on. And because we're now clear of June 1, the Vikings can trade him and spread the cap charge over 2 years, $3.1 million this year, $3.1 million next year, as opposed to the full $6.2 million this year. And for the Vikings, every dollar counts. Now, the question is the $10.4 million salary that is due to Dalvin Cook this year. Would the Dolphins pay him that? And if the Dolphins would try to pay him less to do this trade, would there be another team that is willing to pay him the 10.4? Even if it means restructuring and converting the bulk of it to signing bonus, he still gets 10.4 this year. If there's another team that's willing to give him 10.4 and the Dolphins aren't, that other team is going to have the advantage, I believe, that he's not going to do a literal hometown discount for his hometown of Miami. If there's another team out there that's willing to pay him the full 10.4 that he's due to make under the contract that he signed just a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I totally agree. You got a chance. He knows this is his last shot to really get that big payday here with way running backs and their injuries and everything else. DeAndre Hopkins teasing everybody and a lot of different things on social media. Where do you think he ends up, and who do you think it's between right now? Do you think he's close to making a decision?
I think it ultimately comes down to the Chiefs and the Bills, because those are the two teams that reportedly were talking to the Cardinals about a trade back before the draft. I think this comes down to Hopkins coming to terms with the fact that he's not going to get the kind of money that he believes he should. And when you think of it in the terms of the larger picture of negotiations over a period of years and years, teams constantly negotiate with players, and they know all the shapes and sizes and levels of expectations and personality types and demands, et cetera. Teams know, number one, when a guy is asking for more than the market will bear, and then number two, how to properly deal with him to get the expectations to go down. And with a guy like Hopkins, and this is true of any player that wants more than what he ultimately is going to get, you just have to give him time to come to terms with it. You have to give him an opportunity to realize on his own. He has to go through the stages: anger, denial, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. And then he ends up taking the best deal he can get. And I think what it comes down to is between the Chiefs and the Bills, who gives him the better offer? And is there some other team, some third team, whether it's the Browns or someone else, that offers more, and he sacrifices what could be a pretty good opportunity to win and pursue a championship versus getting maximum money? But I think this may take a while because, look, he's been available 3 days now. Yeah. If there was going to be a land rush where someone was going to give him what he wanted and it was just a matter of him picking the team, then it would be done by now. I think the key is he wants more than anyone is willing to pay. And so the teams wait and he waits. And I would say the start of training camp is really the moment where you need to get this done and need to get him on board. But even then, if he's not ready to admit,
yep,
I'm not going to get what I thought I should get, he could decide to wait and see if somebody gets injured. And that allows him to get something closer to what he wants from a team out there that could go into panic mode and offer him more than what they would offer as long as they have healthy receivers elsewhere on the roster.
Mike, do you buy that Josh McDaniels is not a little concerned about this Jimmy Garoppolo foot surgery back in March as a starting quarterback with really no backup plan there? I mean, they went all in on Jimmy G. He's got to be a little concerned, no?
We played the full sound from his press conference yesterday when McDaniels was asked the question and he said, I have no anxiety. And that was his talking point. No anxiety, no anxiety, no anxiety. How can you have no anxiety when you have a quarterback with a history of injuries, a history that is extensive? We had a graphic of all the injuries he's had. You know, franchise quarterbacks don't get injured. Franchise quarterbacks know how to avoid this. He's had one after another. So on the way through the door, when they negotiate the contract with him 2 hours into the negotiating window on March 13th, and they commit to a $70 million deal with $11.25 million in signing bonus, under the representation, I assume that his foot is fine, and then he shows up and he flunks the physical, and they rework the contract, and they put an injury waiver in there, and they take away his signing bonus, and he doesn't get paid a dime until he passes a physical, and he's had surgery since he signed. How can you say I have no anxiety when you have no backup plan? Your backup plan is Brian Hoyer. I love Brian Hoyer, but he's not the guy that you want to be the backup to a quarterback with an extensive injury history. And here's the problem, Joe, and this is one of the issues with that negotiating window. Teams start lining up their quarterbacks and other players at free agency. They call the agent. They say, we want your guy. We need to know right now, because if you don't want this offer, we're going to move on to somebody else. So the Raiders lock on to Garoppolo, and, Jared Stidham, their backup last year, who could have potentially been the starter this year, he goes to Denver. And they miss out on Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold and Andy Dalton. And I know those guys, you know, aren't going to be MVP candidates, but neither is Jimmy Garoppolo. The point is this: they put all their eggs in Garoppolo's basket before realizing the basket was busted. And now they've got Brian Hoyer and Aiden O'Connell as the fallback. How can you say you have no anxiety? You have to at least have some. On a scale of 0 to 100, you're at least in high single digits, at least, when it comes to your anxiety about your starting quarterback. And even if he's healthy to go week one, you got a lot of anxiety about whether he can stay healthy because he's shown he can.
Yeah, we saw it up close when he got injured against the Miami Dolphins, and my God, little did we know he wasn't going to be playing again. Hey, so the other story coming out here, and I don't think it's just the Lions thing with the gambling and the team spending more time to educate their players. This got to be a concern around the league, right, with the commissioner to make sure everybody understands how serious the gambling is and make it real clear when you gamble and how you can gamble for those of you that are, because people are just going to gamble. It's hard to stop people. It's around you. I got guys around me that gamble on everything every day. What are your thoughts on the NFL going forward? They got to be a little concerned with this.
Well, they need to be concerned, and I argued recently the union needs to be pushing back. The union concedes the point that the league has unilateral discretion to develop this gambling policy under the umbrella of the integrity of the game. Because it goes to the heart of the integrity of the game, the commissioner can devise the policy and enforce it, and the union can't do a damn thing about it other than sit back and watch. I think when you talk about the hair splitting that the league is doing, and consider this. If you're in a state where online gambling is legal and you can do it from an app on your phone, if you are in the street outside the parking lot to the facility of the team you play for, you can bet all you want if you're a player on non-NFL sports. All you want. Not an issue for the integrity of the game. The moment your car rolls into the lot, you're suddenly subject to a six-game suspension if you place that bet. How is that not something that the union and the league should be bargaining and negotiating? It really is the kind of fine hair splitting that the union should have been part of. And then, Joe, comes the educational piece. The Lions said yesterday they're re-educating their players. I laughed at that because re is doing a lot of work there. it assumes they educated them at all. They've already had four guys suspended, right. A fifth under investigation. I had a coach explain to me recently, if you have a cluster of students who are bringing home Fs on their report cards, at some point it's on the teacher, not the student. What are teams doing to explain it? And I had someone tell me, look, this policy is so confusing. We basically had to take the policy and rewrite it so our people could understand what the rules are. So this is the challenge for the teams. Make sure that you're communicating the rules and the gravity of a violation. This isn't something that gets you, you know, a stern talking to. This is something that gets you suspended for 6 games if you bet on non-NFL contests on team property or while traveling with the team, or if you dare to bet on NFL games and the sports books rat you out because everything has a right. digital footprint and they find out about it, you're gone for a year, period. I don't think it should be all that difficult to get the message across to a bunch of 22-year-old kids who have their faces in their phones and they aren't paying attention. You tell them your livelihood depends on this. You do this and you don't play and you don't get paid and you're not coming back for at least a year.
Mike, the one that gets me, and I've had this concern since they went to Vegas, and maybe you don't. So you got a bunch of players and members of the organization in Las Vegas for the Raiders who are around, and they're talking to people. And listen, a lot of people go to Vegas or gambling, and they're getting information. Hey, see a guy at a restaurant, see him out and having a drink with him on an off night or something. Hey, what's the deal? Oh, man, we feel good. And you give him a little information on a key injury or something without – and not in a mean-spirited, I want to help you make some money, but just giving out information after you've had drinks. And that comes back to haunt you. Can that affect you? And a gambler goes in and hits a big one, and he's bragging that he was able to talk to the starting such-and-such for the Raiders. I worry about that one.
Joe, the NFL should be worried about it. I am concerned that they are going to periodically pluck this low-hanging fruit that just kind of falls into their shoes from guys who stupidly will wager on non-NFL sports on company property yeah. or on NFL. And you're going to have a supply every year of kids who come into the NFL who may not understand. And if you're not explaining it to them, you're going to have guys who get in trouble. And people are going to think, oh, look, the NFL is enforcing its policies. There were 3 suspensions last month, and there's 2 more this month. Overlooking the fact that there are other problems that arise under this policy, yeah. and you hit the nail on the head. Material, non-public information. That's what the SEC calls it as it relates to stock tips. It's illegal. It's a violation. What is the NFL doing to ensure that inside information is being properly protected? I've heard that for the last 5 years from people in the NFL. What are we doing? Think about this. If your head coach scripts the first 15 plays of a game, who's coming into the room to empty the trash bucket while it's all written on the whiteboard what the first 15 plays are? Who all has access to how extensively they're going to run the ball this week versus pass the ball? Who knows that information? Who knows the truth about who's really injured and who isn't? That's all out there. And I don't believe the NFL has an affirmative mechanism to track it down because it's hard to track it down. It's like the NCAA at a certain point, it just has to throw its hands in the air and say, we can only do the stuff that's easy to prove. We can't right. do the stuff that's hard to prove. So that's a real concern. And what happens, Joe, all it takes is one scandal. And the next thing you know, the federal government creates an agency that's in charge of overseeing the NFL. I mentioned the SEC. You know, the SEC didn't even exist until 5 years after the stock market crash of 1929. It takes a major incident to get the regulation to follow.
Hey, Mike, I got so many things. I wanted to ask this Nick Saban thing. I don't know if you're following these SEC meetings, and Nick's not happy about the NIL, and he says, what the hell? I'd rather just employees for us. We'll set up a union. We'll just be like the NFL. For college football. What are your thoughts on that and going to that? He's obviously, even though he's had great success no matter what the system is, he still had number one recruiting classes and really good football teams. On some of the comments coming out of the SEC about the future with the NIL and the amount of money that certain schools are spending.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that because when he first started complaining about this a couple of years ago, I wrote about it, and there were people in the media who criticized me for missing the point. They thought the point was that this is Saban putting everyone on notice that if this is the way you're going to do things, then I'm going to do it, and I'm going to take advantage of it, and I'm going to kick your ass with it. And I don't think that's the case, and I never thought that was the case. There are only so many dollars that you can squeeze out of the pockets of the boosters. So now what happens with these NIL collectives that are paying the players to go play at the school, you're robbing Peter to pay Paul. The more money that the boosters are giving to the NIL collectives to pay for players is less money they're going to give to the program.
Yeah.
Less money that's going to go to pay Nick Saban's salary. Less money that's going to go to have the best possible facilities on top of the money that you're paying the kids. And it's all going to migrate to where the money is, to the bigger cities, to the bigger alumni bases, the richer alumni bases. Despite all the success Alabama has had, when it's time to go toe-to-toe with Texas and USC, Alabama is losing in the money department. That's been his concern, and he just wants to have an equal playing field because he thinks if all things are equal, then he can use that silver tongue,
right,
go in there and sweet-talk everybody, get the best guys to come play for him. He just wants it equal because he's falling behind.
Yeah. I am with you 100%. It's just funny to hear a guy that makes $12 million a year, guy that's complaining about the system the most. It's funny. By the way, I'll bet Kirby Smart's not bitching too much, winning back-to-back national championships. I'm guessing he's
well, that's right. I mean, that's why Saban senses the urgency. And Joe, look, I know it's chaos right now for college football, but this is the chaos college football deserves. This is a reckoning that has been long overdue because for decades they have exploited the players, they have not paid them, and they've created these false barriers for the players to make money on the side. Think of how ridiculous it is when you take a step back from it to say, not only are we not going to pay you anything, but you can't go make any money off of the fame that you develop by playing this sport. You can't even do that. I mean, they maintained that ruse for how many years?
Yes.
It's unbelievable. And it's the house is crumbling, and it's exactly what the NCAA deserves for all those years and all those players who were kept from earning fair compensation for all the money they generated.
So I got to leave you with this one. This is kind of a father thing. I don't know if you agree, and I brought it out, and I understand the doctors. I'm setting you up before I get to the question. Damar Hamlin, I know he's working out. Looks like he's gonna get the green light to play. How's the team take that chance knowing what happened? And I know doctors know a hell of a lot more about the body than we do on the outside and about him coming back. How would you feel? How do you feel about him coming back and playing after what he just went through, where his heart stopped twice on the field?
If the end result of what happened to him on January 2nd was commotio cordis, which is a very rare one in a billion. It happens a lot, though. I mean, it's rare, but it does happen. And it's made people more sensitive to the fact that it happens to kids who play baseball. You get hit in the chest with a line drive and your heart stops. And it's created increased sensitivity to AEDs. Raheem Morris, the Rams defensive coordinator, just helped save someone's life by immediately calling out for the AED. Where's the AED? People are aware now, and it will save lives. But if the doctors believe that's what happened, and it's a condition that gets diagnosed by ruling out anything else it could be, so it must have been commotio cordis, that very rare gets hit in the chest and your heart stops. If that's the case, then he's fine. He's good to go. They've checked him out. He yeah. wants to play. And, you know, I assume he's still good enough to make the team and play.
No, he's good.
You know, he got a lot of playing time because of injuries to their key safeties. But it does create for the league. I look at it this way, Joe. If you're the league, if you're the NFL, let's be real about this. The people who have their fingers on the buttons of power in the NFL, do you think they want him to play or don't want him to play?
I'm guessing they don't.
I think they'd rather he just move on.
Yeah.
I don't think they want lightning to strike again. They don't take any chance that lightning is going to strike again with this kid.
Yeah, I feel
if they would tell you the truth, I think that's what they would say.
Yeah, I agree. I wouldn't want that. Can you imagine the dogpiling goes on if something happens to him again? The league is just getting, and the Bills will just get ripped. They will get crucified. Anyway, hey, Mike.
And Joe, I'll leave you with this. Let me just say this. All this stuff they're doing with the kickoff, they say it's to reduce concussions. I firmly believe that they are scared out of their minds about the possibility of a serious catastrophic injury on a kick return and possibly a death on the field. That's why they keep whittling away at the kickoff. It's not about reducing concussions. It's about eliminating the opportunities for two guys running at full speed at each other. You dip your head just a little bit to brace for impact, puts a ton of pressure on C4, C5 area in the spine. It could break your neck, and it could end up ending someone's life. That's what they're trying to avoid more than anything else. That's their nightmare scenario, because if a guy dies on the field, who knows what happens to football moving forward.
Mike, good stuff this morning. Really appreciate it. It is incredible, and we'll be watching to find out who gets cut and traded and contracts and all the other stuff coming up here the next week or two. Thank you so much, buddy.
Thanks, Joe. See you, pal.
Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk joining us this morning, 305-567-0560. When we come back, we'll check in here. And by the way, before we do, I just got to bring this up. This Nuceria thing, this Nuceria health for people. Real quickly, if you're in your 40s, 50s, 60s, energy level is low, sex drive is shot, not even and you're gaining weight, and all you do is think more about eating and sleeping than anything else, well, I'll tell you what, Nuceria Health can really make a big difference. It starts with Dr. Alex Alonzo, but also the medical staff and Karen and Mike and all the rest of them over there that work to put together one of the great teams we have here in South Florida. I'm on a hormone replacement therapy program. I have been with them now for 7 or 8 months. And I just want to let you know it makes a difference. They've got some great programs. Matter of fact, this ozone therapy to help your body heal and a lot of other benefits a lot of people are using. They have it. It's been very successful. Been around a long, long time for you to get great results in healing and a lot of other benefits that you get from it. So I just want to let you know, and you don't have to go to the store now. Everything's done on Zoom call, and the blood work will actually get it done at your home. If you can hear it right now, it's going to work for you. It's Nuceria Health. Go to mynuceria.com. It's mynuceria.com or 786-305-6337. Let Nuceria Health really make a big difference in your life, and get more out of the fourth quarter of life today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.